And hello, everybody, and welcome back to another RSG podcast of the Star Wars Lore with Idiots, the show where yours truly, Ranger Jade 1999, tries to teach a bunch of morons Star Wars lore, and it usually goes to pot very quickly because, well, you'll see. Welcome to
420
another.
it is.
Yes. Welcome to the show. Thanks to everybody for all your support. We're well over $1,000 in Patreon. That's allowed us to expand the lore series into podcast, which you can check now out. Check out now on Podbeam and Amazon. I don't know what's going on with Tiltify. We're supposed to have a Tiltify. It doesn't work. I don't know what's going on, so I'm still working on that. And we also are trying to get iTunes, but when we get that up and running, we will. But with that, you've allowed us to do the podcast now, and we've got that out, so you can go download this and listen to all the episodes for the podcast as well. Make sure you leave comments on the podcast and hit the star ratings in those. That does help out. And if you're listening to this on YouTube, feel free to leave comments, those kind of things. And as a friendly reminder, we're doing the lore video this week, but next weekend we will not be doing the lore video because it's going to be Easter weekend, and well, no. We're all going to be doing stuff with family and stuff, and that's just the way it is. But we'll be back hot and heavy at it afterwards and back to back to back to back episodes. So, no. That being said, let's meet the Munchkins. We've got Big K over there looking all, I don't know, you're looking kind of like you're angry there, Big K.
I've never been called a munchkin before.
Right?
I've eaten a munchkin, but I've never been called a munchkin. Probably
Well, I'm
when I
gonna
was a
call you a
baby,
lot
they
of
didn't call
names
me a
because you
munchkin.
guys raised my blood pressure, so get used to it.
But hi.
Okay, there he is. Okay. And we always talk about what we're drinking today. I'm drinking some Jim Beam and Dr. Pepper as tradition. What do you got going on there, Big K?
Today we got Jefferson's
Oh.
small batch. It's a very small batch.
Oh, yes. Very, very fine, very elegant. For more civilized age. Also join us, we've got Pasty McGee down there. Rambam001's join us. And yeah, there he is. Yeah.
Yep, that's me.
Yeah. And even with all the work he did on his lights, he's still as pasty as ever. So, and then finally, we've got the mountain man himself, the Whelan Cannoneer Carthrix, join us.
What's up, fellas?
What's up? What filling your coffee today, buddy?
Oh, extra coffee.
Okay, just extra
It's
coffee today. Okay, no, no,
not spiced.
no,
no
dude.
spice.
My coffee needed coffee so that I could get coffee.
Yeah.
It's been a rough weekend.
It's a vicious
Well,
circle.
what happens when the coffee needs the coffee, but the coffee that needs the coffee needs the coffee?
We get the stick.
So it begins. I didn't ask you what you drinking, Ram. Just some good old-fashioned bourbon and Dr. Pepper.
It, man.
All right.
That's it.
Classic, elegant. There you go. All right.
It
If you're
does the
new,
job well.
Two things Ram aren't. Ready, go.
So if you're new to this the podcast, this is the way we're stream. Well, it's not a stream, but the recording here on YouTube. You know that I always ask these morons what the topic is. I don't want to, but it's kind of a tradition. Shot in the dark, see if they can guess what we're going to talk about today. We're going to start with Ram Bam today. Ram, what are you thinking we're going to discuss today?
No, I'm
And
gonna
you're and
appease.
the normal rules apply.
Normal rules apply. Got it. Okay. So I'm gonna
Don't even
appease.
tempt me, Frodo.
I'm not tempting. I'm gonna appease to the inner Kashmir. Okay.
Ooh.
I think that we're gonna talk about Grandmaster Yoda, but we're gonna
No.
talk about Grandmaster Yoda in particular, the variety of his apprentices and the differences between the success of each apprentice and how they got to be where they were at, and if they died, how they
What
died,
the
so
hell's
on and
going
so
on?
forth, and like the impact of all that.
Well, no, but that was a very well-educated guess. I'm actually a little shocked. And no, we will not be doing that because if we hit the 1500 in Patreons, then Kashmir has to talk about all that crap.
Damn.
Yeah, so that's off the board. But it was a nice, well-thought-out,
Wait, we
well-articulated
didn't get a
guess.
quote. We need a quote.
Well, no, I'll do the quote afterwards and see if you guys can pick up on it. So, because
Oh,
sometimes I'll let you try to guess, and then sometimes I'll give you the quote and then let you guess. But,
okay, fine.
fair enough. So we know it's not Yoda. So there goes Kashmir's answer. Should I just skip you, Kashmir, for today?
No.
Oh, okay.
I know what, well, you can't skip me because I know what we're talking about this
What are we
week.
talking about?
We're gonna go over every person that died, how they died, like what body part they lost, and debate
No.
who lost it, like Like, was Count Dooku losing his head better than Jango Fett losing his head?
No, we're not doing that.
Ooh, I like that. Can we make that as a thing?
No, we can't. No.
Who lost their hand better?
Okay.
I mean, Luke lost a pretty good hand, but then, I mean, like, Vader kind of lost his hand, but then he lost his arm, too. Yeah. And, you know, when he was Anakin, I mean.
Yeah, we'd have to establish the rules as far as, you know.
Well, then you kind of have to go down the rabbit hole, too. Like, you have to go down the rabbit hole. Like, okay, if you lost your left hand, but they were right-handed, you know. Like, losing your right hand is more impactful than losing your left hand.
Yeah.
What you're telling me,
left-handed,
for the love of God, shut your mouth.
What you're telling me is that the Skywalkers are not good poker players.
Yeah, no, they're not.
Because they keep losing their hands.
Anyway, Karthik, it's your turn. What nonsense do you have for me?
That
was bunch of rantings and ravings from a bunch of lunatics. Jesus Christ.
Let's see. What Star Wars lore could we cover today? Let's see.
What do you got?
I would like to think that we are going to delve into the deep, interesting conversation of the metal workers on Mandalore prior to the obliteration by the Empire. We're going to talk about how they came through and did all the cool stuff.
Yeah, that's not a bad little reference. I know how you said it, but no, that's wrong. But I appreciate the answer. Ram actually had a decent answer. Kashmir should. I hate you. No, those are all wrong, as is tradition. I will read you the quote and then let you guys have another shot at it. Are you guys ready for the quote?
I'm ready.
For over a thousand generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Republic. Well, the dark times.
All right, Ben.
That's true. It is from old Ben Kenobi. That's very good. Okay, so here's your quote. Let it salivate in those wasted brain states.
Someone needs to eat their lunch.
What do you guys think? Who wants to give a shot in the dark here? What do you think?
We're going to do a detailed accounting of all the younglings Anakin killed at the Jedi Temple.
No, that's wrong. All right.
Oh, well, that's all I got.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I got some. Since we're talking about generations of things, something that lasts generations, I think we're going to talk about the morality of droids making other droids.
No, it's wrong.
Listen, as long as they're using protection.
If you don't cover,
they've got plenty of lube.
The maintenance factories
got plenty of lube.
Ram's thinking of an oil bath and how good it's going to feel.
Hell yeah. Well, so you said it perfectly. Okay. You said for the dark times, for the Empire, right? So I think we're going to be talking about the difference between the light times and the dark times. You know, before there was a sun, there was a galaxy.
Nope, wrong. Moving on.
You know, like how every planet was just in total darkness. No. This is before the dark times.
Okay, moving on. Okay.
I'm going to go with, if that's the case with you, Ram, it's when you're inside and when you're outside.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Before Ram went outside, before the Empire.
No. Ram's got a dedicated night or phone line in his house that the government calls to tell him to go back inside when he steps outside because hey, shut that fucking nightlight off. Yeah, let's go.
Mm-hmm. No, these are all wrong.
Just send me to Ukraine. I'll stop the war.
Yes, right. Blinded.
Can't shoot if you can't
light.
See.
Yeah.
Ribbed up like a dude. All right. No, the answer is the Jedi. We are covering finally we've gone big into the Sith. We've been through a lot of the history and some other factions. But I wanted to break in. We're not going to get into the history too much, but we're going to get into the Jedi Order, its philosophy, its structure, a little bit of everything about how the Jedi Order works and things of that nature. We've covered the Sith a lot, but I figured, you know, it's time. We did the Mandalorians previously. I figured we'd do the Jedi because, well, they're a big part of Star Wars. So, that being said, the Jedi Order.
Are they?
Yeah. What about the Jedi Order? What?
No, are they? You said they're a big part of Star Wars, and I was questioning that statement.
No, that's because you're an idiot, and that's why I'm here to educate you. As I was saying, the Jedi Order, and all this information, guys, is pulled from the books I've got behind me, Wikipedia. You know, I just usually just pull the information here, read it to
our ass.
Yeah, add my own notes to what's over there, and then, yeah, my ass. Mm.
I said ours. No, we're the idiots here. You're the one that's supposed to educate. We're just pulling stuff out of our ass.
I know. The Jedi Order, later known as the Old Jedi Order and referred to as the Holy Order of the Jedi Knight, is an ancient Masonic peacekeeping organization unified by its belief in observance of the Force, specifically the light side. The Jedi were the guardians of peace and justice in the Galactic Republic and became perhaps the most well-known of the various groups that relied on the Force for their power. Led by a series of Jedi councils, the Order grew over the millennia despite facing many trials. Most often these trials were engineered by the Sith, the most prominent group of Force sensitives who wielded the dark side of the Force. We've covered the Sith in previous episodes, so... and then you guys will recognize some of these events and things. During several great schisms, numerous Jedi broke away from the original order due to differences in how they believed the Force should be wielded, who would later become the Sith and other groups. The various impasses reached by the Orthodox Jedi and the defectors led to several wars, including the Hundred Years of Darkness, the Great Hyperspace War, the Great Sith War, the Mandalorian Wars, the Jedi Civil War, the Great Galactic War, to name a few, as well as the Clone Wars and later the Jedi Purge in recent canon. Now, we've already covered these events with the Sith, so there's really not, in previous episodes, I'm really not going to get into the history. Not a history lesson. We'll cover the history portions moving forward in the pod series if you've listened from the beginning, through the events or characters that we will discuss. But I just want to get into the beliefs and other aspects of the Jedi and the Jedi Order. So that being said, what do you guys, I'm sure you're all familiar with the Jedi, but questions, we always like to open it up to questions for the idiots. You know, we want to have good participation in the class. Who's got a question? Feel free just to speak up.
So the Jedi, they're the ones with the blue colored lightsabers.
That's true. They do have blue colored lightsabers. Yes.
Wait, but Anakin at the end of episode 3 had a blue one.
He hadn't had a chance to turn it to red.
Blowing holes in logic right here, folks.
He hadn't had a chance to corrupt his blade.
All he has to do is make it bleed.
He hadn't made it bleed yet. He was too busy killing.
Probably not that time of the month today.
It wasn't that time of the month.
Ignore that statement. All right. No. Anybody else?
Push it in hard enough, it'll bleed.
You wouldn't know, Dram.
This is the first time it bleeds. First time you do it, also it bleeds.
There you go.
Fair. Yeah, it's the first time you do it, too.
Anything else about the Jedi and not menstruation?
It wasn't all about menstruation, but
yeah. I don't like a lot about menstruation and stuff. Okay, so anybody else? Jedi, we're on the same path.
Hey, Ranger, familiar? Everyone bleeds, okay?
If he dies, he dies.
It bleeds, we can kill it.
Yes, familiar with Jedi. They are the ones with the light-colored glowy sticks that self-righteously talk about the goods and evils before every fight. Yeah.
They are the good guys.
The Jedi are the supposed good guys from a certain point of view.
Right.
And
the high ground view, of course.
Right. So you would say they're the boring people, right? Like they just don't have fun. They just sit there and...
I mean, that's how you want to refer to Mace.
Be diplomatic.
Fine, I mean. Yeah, that's how you want to refer to Mace. I mean, that's...
No, Mace was an exception. Mace was an exception because he'd go around and just whack people's head off. See example, Django.
You're going to make generalities. You know, I'm just throwing that out there. You know, he was part of the, you know, the big part of the Jedi. So just
don't... Okay, so was Anakin. So was Obi-Wan. It doesn't make them... You know?
Yeah, but like Mace, like 99% the Jedi of the reason overall, Anakin fell to the dark side. Yeah, he sucks.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But Mace didn't have a fatherly aspect of it. And now we're talking about Mace. This makes me all happy.
All right. No, we're not, actually.
And jokes about
and
that.
Scene. And moving on. And so let's get into the organization side of the Jedi and the Jedi Order.
So file cabinet.
No, a little bit more of like,
Just shut up and listen.
Okay. Yes, please. during the Force Wars, we talked about those. The first Jedi formed a central political entity called the Jedi High Council. The High Council was a gathering of great minds that acted as a governing body for the Order, eventually serving as an advisory board for the Office of the Supreme Chancellor following the Order's joining of the Republic. The High Council was made up of 12 members at a time, a tradition established as early as the Great Hyperspace War. So this goes back all the way back to the first great Sith Jedi War. Membership on the Jedi Council was decided by the Standing Council and was made up of a series of different terms, consisting of 5 lifetime members, 4 members who stayed on the council until they chose to step down, and then 3 short-term members who changed regularly and sat on the council for a relatively short period of time. This method kept the voices of the opinions of the council fresh and focused. While membership was usually restricted to Jedi masters, exceptions were sometimes made, allowing a knight to sit on the council should certain insight be needed, or if they are in, or if they were in a transitional stage before elevation. A notable example was Anakin Skywalker, who was appointed by Supreme Chancellor Palpatine in 1919 BBY during the Clone Wars. While the council accepted the appointment, they refused to make him a master. How can you be and you can't you be an enemy master? And then you can say your mace line. Go ahead, Ram. I know you want to. Go ahead. Take a seat, you know, Skywalker. I gave you the opening. Ram's not paying attention, so he missed it. For several,
I don't see how that related to take a seat. But
okay. I said there was a chance for you to say mace quote, but you missed it. So yeah,
I still don't see how that tied into the mace quote.
All right. So just,
oh my God.
Pick your nose.
Next.
Yes. And see. For several generations, the order was overseen by three additional councils that oversaw various responsibilities within the order. The Council of First Knowledge oversaw the Jedi Academy house within the Coruscant Temple, in addition to direct oversight over satellite training academies and libraries. The members of the Council of the First Knowledge were looked upon for advice in situations needing to be contrasted with the past. Beyond this council were sometimes former members of the Kai Council and could give a different perspective on current events based on past decisions and mistakes. Instead of advising the Supreme Chancellor, the Council of Reconciliation worked closely with the Republic Diplomatic Corps in order to assist in the acquisition of new member worlds in the Senate, funding Jedi diplomats and ambassadors to implement treaties and welcome new people into the Republic. The Reconciliation's Council members worked very closely with the senators on Coruscant. Finally, the Council of Reassignment oversaw the Jedi Service Corps and the placement of individuals who failed the Jedi trials or were deemed unfit to continue with the standard path of the Jedi Knight. The decision of these four councils have shaped the progress of the Republic as well as the Order. When the High Council of the Air refused to enter the Mandalorian Wars, for example, and took a more passive stance on the issue until they could assess it, a group of disenchanted Jedi known as the Revanchists, we talked about them at the Revan episode, rose up and cited the Jedi Civil War, nearly wiping out the Jedi Order. When the Order had managed to recover, the Council took a slightly more aggressive stance, culminating in the new Sith War, where they actively ruled the Republic as a quasi-military dictatorship. The First Knowledge Council took the time following the Rusan Reformation to purge all reference to the Sith from the minds of the Galactic Empire, ensured that within a few years of the war, the Darksiders' legacy was all but forgotten. Millennia later, during the Clone Wars, the twilight years of the Galactic Republic, the Jedi acted as generals, soldiers, and military advisors in the conflict before being nearly destroyed once again by the newly resurgent Sith. So that kind of gives you an idea of like the way the Order kind of works at a hierarchy level. Because you have the Jedi Council and how it's designated with the five lifetime members, the four that can resign anytime, and then the three that are rotated in and out. That can leave at any time, short-term members as well, to keep the ideas fresh. And, you know, there's not a stagnation on the council. And then you have your other three groups that oversee the different parts of the Jedi that are doing different things, that are their own little separate councils that reports to the Jedi Council. They can see that there's a structure and a hierarchy to what the Jedi do and how they go about doing their business. So any questions on that? See how the idiots are doing right now.
So basically, they created committees to talk about stuff and things.
Actively doing things. They just had committees to, you know, come up with their plans and stuff. But they were actively, like, the diplomatic corps was always traveling new member worlds. The other ones were dealing with all the stuff that people that didn't make it or reassigning them. The other ones doing their thing. And yeah, so yeah, they had committees. I mean, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just interesting to see that like the Jedi structured themselves much more into like their own form of government.
Yeah.
Versus like the Sith was always like only during the height of the Sith Empire in the SWTOR series was there a lot of Sith going on, but after that they all kind of went back to the rule of two kind of thing. But the Jedi were going to have a whole on party.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Kay, Ram, questions?
Yeah, did they have to pay a fee to be a member of the thing like Costco?
No, they didn't have Costco. Sorry, that's wrong.
Okay, well, you said they're a member, so like, you know, you have to pay a fee to be a member of something.
That's not quite how, that's not the membership we're talking about.
So I have a two-part question. One is, compare this to the Sith, right? The Jedi again, going back to my original point of they're boring. At this point in time, the Sith have already done, like, I've killed so many people, I've raided so many planets, I've destroyed so many things, whatever. Instead of, like, I build a committee.
Yeah, but it's because of the structure, the Jedi always won.
I know, because it's plot armor. Anyways.
Sure, it's plot armor.
Second one is, like, who was leading all this? Did they have a Grandmaster? Did they establish that yet?
Well, we haven't gotten to the role of the Grandmaster, but yeah, the Grandmaster. But when you have the Jedi Council, you see the Yoda, like, for instance, Yoda had the strongest voice, but they all had their voices in the council because these are long-served Jedi. You know, they respected what Yoda said, but if they had their own viewpoint, they would say it, you know. So it's, you know, but they looked at experience and wisdom is something to be valued, you know. So Mace really listened to Yoda because he trusted Yoda's experience, his wisdom, his knowledge, you know. But doesn't mean that Mace didn't have his own ideas, you know.
Okay, all right, so that makes sense. So I forget the name of the game, but it's like they pass around something, and when that person's holding that thing, they get to talk. So did they do that with the stick?
I'm going to ignore that statement completely. We're going to move on to, now we're going into the Jedi ranks.
But I do have another question.
If it's about the stick, just move on.
No stick. I promise you, no stick.
If it's stick related, I'm moving on.
No. I swear to you.
I feel
so in the movies, when they're in the council room and they're all, there's the 12 chairs all around because there's 12 of them, and somebody's out doing a mission, they show up and they take the chair, like you see them in the chair.
In the Hall of Calls, yeah.
Yeah. So when Anakin was there, because I don't remember seeing this in the movies, did they just give him like a folding chair?
No, he took up one of the resident chairs.
But why? Because somebody was already in there.
But they allowed him to sit there even though he wasn't a Jedi Master.
Yeah,
well, didn't have to be a master there.
Yeah, you don't have to be. I just said that. You can be, like, as I said, you can be... Like, you just, yeah, maybe you're about to become a master, it has not been official yet, but, and for certain circumstances, like I just said, you could be a Jedi Knight that has insights at the time that they value, that they want you to have voice in the council. So there are exceptions to the rule. Okay.
So okay, going off of that, why did they call Master Skywalker if he wasn't a master?
Well, we'll get into that too. If you let me read on, you'll see.
Could have been like Knight Skywalker Skywalker.
We'll yeah. So let's talk about it right now. There's the Jedi ranks. As a Jedi were instructed in the ways of the Order and the Force, each member progressed through several different ranks. Your first rank is the Jedi Initiate or Youngling or Jedi Hopeful. The youngest members of the Order, these Force-sensitive children were given the rank of Initiate when they began their communal training in clans. Recruited from worlds throughout the galaxy where blood testing was required upon birth, initiates were removed from their families and brought to a Jedi Academy for formal training. And we've seen that throughout the series and books and stuff. You know, they originally did that with the Tales of the Jedi when they went and got Ahsoka for that reason. One of the reasons they did that, they were looking for Force-sensitive children for the ranks, but also they had known in the past that if you let someone that's untrained in the Force, especially if they're powerful, wreak havoc. They will wreak havoc because they don't know how to control their powers and stuff. So you had Jedi that their sole mission was to go and to tap into the Force and find these children so that they could be, you know, brought to be trained formally.
And they could be kidnapped.
Well, they got permission from their families. They never did that. The Sith, on the other hand, did kidnap. So that's a different story. Next level is Jedi Padawan. After being selected for individual tutelage under a single Jedi Knight or Jedi Master, initiates were given the title of Padawan, a word derived from the Jedi Order, which we talked about, the Jedi Order. Eligible for this rank following the successful completion of the initiate trials, Padawans were typically taken at adolescence and completed their training away from the academy. Per tradition, Padawans of a hair-growing species would wear a long braid of hair behind their ear. Non-haired Padawans were encouraged to wear a type of jewelry, a tattoo, or other body modification as a symbol. A Jedi Knight or Jedi Master can have only one apprentice at a time. The Padawan had to be promoted to the rank of Jedi Knight before another apprentice could be chosen, a practice that was formalized following the Great Sith War. While in place, the policy could be revoked should the order see a decline in number and necessity forces the apprenticeship of several students to a single master. Following several unsuccessful attempts at the initiate trials, or if a student is not chosen by a master, the Council of Reconciliation would place the student within the Jedi Service Corps. Depending on where the student's talents lay, this might be the Agricultural Corps, the Medical Corps, the Educational Corps, or the Exploration Corps. If this role did not suit a particular student, they could choose to leave the order. Next rank is Jedi Knight. Following a period of nearly a decade of one-on-one training with a master, a disciplined Padawan was eligible to attempt the Jedi Trials. Upon successfully completing all tests put forth, a Padawan braid was severed by the High Council, and their life as a knight began. No longer attached to a master, knights were free to accept missions from the council, pursue specialized training on one of the three branches of knighthood, or take their own Padawan. And then the last rank is, of course, the Jedi Master. A knight who showed great understanding of the Force and managed to instruct a Padawan and train them successfully to the level of Jedi Knight was elevated to the rank of Master by the High Council. Self-declaration of the title was frowned upon in rare practice in the later days of the Order, but not uncommon during war times or periods of disbandment. Amongst the Order's masters, only a select few were appointed to one of the Jedi Councils. Made up of exclusively of wise, experienced masters, the Councils of the Order had different levels of membership, ensuring fresh perspectives were expressed as new events occurred. The High Council was made up of 12 masters, 5 of them holding life terms, 4 holding long terms, and then 3 holding short terms, as I've already said. The elect leader of the council was known as the Master of the Order and was bestowed upon the acting Grand Master, the recognized leader of the So there you go. See, that answers some of your questions. Now that I've answered some of your questions, what other idiotic questions do you have to come for me now? Because I can just see your brains turning over there.
This just seems very sketchy. No, A, they take a kid with parents' permission. Yeah, all right, whatever.
Sort of.
Yeah.
No, they but ask then, permission. I mean, they.
But then so. they get branded. Like, you know, if you have hair, you have to. I'm telling you how to do your hair, or I'm going to give you a tattoo or something like that. This sounds.
Right. So okay. So you're saying
as compared to the Sith that would just steal children and then. If you didn't survive, they would just kill you. You
mean, listen, it's just a different version. Okay,
I'm just making sure the shady level was, you know, being.
They didn't try to hide it under the guise of structure.
Yeah.
No, they just literally committed crimes and stole them. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, openly committing crimes is better than trying to do it under false pretenses.
Mace is so, a part of it.
I didn't say he was right. Anyways. Yes,
you do all the time.
No, I just said he's alive. Just fair.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said that they would go out and they would look into the Force and see all these kids that were, you know, powerful in the Force or had Force sensitivity, but, you know, especially ones that are powerful in the Force so that they could grab them and take them and, you know, train them in the Force with right. parents' permission. What happens if they said no?
Well, a lot of people in culture,
you will let your kid go.
No,
right, right.
I mean, so,
like, because let's say Anakin, right? Let's say most powerful person, highest count of midichlorians. What if Shmi or Anakin or both just said, "Nah, you know what? I don't want to be a Jedi." Then what? Then all that untapped power just
Jedi had a huge respect for the cultures. There's an old saying, a Jedi story of the Jedi. This is how they respected the cultures and people that were in their area of that they would deal with. There was a Jedi master who went to this world to negotiate peace, and the people there, their tradition is if a great warrior, you know, they recognize someone's a great warrior, they would honor him by eating him. And they asked, and they ate the Jedi master's Padawan. They said, "Well, why didn't you take revenge?" He says, "Take revenge for what? They're just doing what they believe to be true. You know, it's not like they went out and did this out of spite or anything." They thought the guy was crazy. He's like, "No, that's their culture. I respect what they do." So, and I'm paraphrasing the story, but
that's the ate who?
They ate as his Padawan. And then when people asked him why didn't he take revenge and go after them for eating his Padawan, he says, "No, they to him he was a great warrior that fought them, in a battle, and even though he lost, he showed courage, so they honored him. But that was their culture, was to eat him, you know. So they ate his paddle, and they're like, well, why didn't you take revenge or get revenge on him? Says, that's not our way, and that's their culture. Why would I be angry with them for doing what
they normally do? Why did the Padawan let them eat him?
He didn't have a choice. so but that just gave you an idea. The main thing is that the idea of the Jedi is that, you know, and there were cultures that were force sensitive that they didn't want to give it up. They ain't going to give it up. And the Jedi would respect that, you know, but they would try to encourage the family to understand that having a force sensitive child and you're not force or understand the force or able to deal with that, it's not good. They've had experience with this. So
I'm further proving the point of the Jedi are flawed and boring, because the Sith were just, I would have just sat there and shocked them.
We know. We've seen you play the Old Republic.
Rand's great.
If you not see Rand play the Old Republic, he shocks anybody just for even saying something nice. You know, my lord, you look nice. Like, what do you mean by that? You know, so he'll come up with an excuse.
Yeah. Yeah. I was shocked the guy because he helped us escape somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, thank you for helping. Hey, would you mind if we help you later on? Yeah, sure.
Building up those relations, that's going to help us in
the
long term.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Sith had the right viewpoint.
Yeah. When they come for Ram, guys, I'm just going to step to the side and let it happen. Like, oh, the big posse's here. Hey, Karth, that cares. Let's go over here and get a drink. Oops, sorry.
Oh, no. What happened to poor Rambam?
Oh, no. Look, he's being dragged through the streets. We should do something. Oh, gosh. Look, I got another appointment. Got to go.
Next week on Lore with Idiots, substituting for Ram will be.
So you heard me mention about the Jedi Service Corps. So let's talk about that real quick. The Jedi Service Corps was a group of organizations overseen by the Council of Reconciliation. And this was maintained as an alternate or a supplement to traditional mission assignments from the High Council. While the majority of the Corps was indeed made up of initiates who failed to pass Jedi Initiate trials, there were many Padawan Knights and Masters whose specialization brought them to the Corps. You'll see that when we get to the specific corps. So we have the Agricultural Corps. The Agricultural Corps was the largest of these organizations. Members of the Ag Corps would use their force powers to care for crops all over the galaxy, aiding the feeding of several million citizens of the Republic. While working with the Republic Agriculture Administration, the Ag Corps spread the idea that the living force can overcome the horrors of drought and famine. Made up of mostly lifelong members that had failed their trials, the Ag Corps had bases on everywhere. So the Medical Corps. In the Medical Corps, young Jedi learners who were not chosen as Padawan used their healing powers to tend for the sick beings in the galaxy. Unlike the Ag Corps, the Med Corps maintained only a few dozen students and their instructors at any given time. Maintaining an infirmary in the Halls of Healing on Coruscant, the Med Corps members worked alongside the Galactic City Medical Center doctors and specialists as they helped treat citizens of the planet city. The Educational Corps. The Educational Corps consisted of students who were still in training, overseen by the Chief Librarian. The Ed Corps members stationed at the Temple Coruscant catalog and translated data within the archives. And then the Exploration Corps. The Exploration Corps was responsible for exploring all the unknown regions, as well as the study of the history of the Jedi in the galaxy. While refueling centers on nearly every Republic ordnance or regional depot, the galaxy was their territory for exploration, working closely with the Republic Survey Corps and the Intergalactic Zoological Society. The Exploration Corps had the highest number of knights and masters working in its ranks. So it was a mixture of people that had not passed the initiate trials and other things, but you can see that outside of these corps themselves, but you had the diplomatic corps, and you also had like your specific, there were Jedi that were Jedi guardians that did their thing. You know, you had your Jedi temple guardians. Those are the highest, most powerful. A lot of Jedi that would go into being sentinels. You've seen them with the yellow lightsabers, the double-bladed lightsabers. So there's other things that were involved with Jedi, but these were the main corps that they would mainly go out and help, or whether it was exploring, do diplomatic service, security, you know, all that stuff, you know, that's what the Jedi did. All right, questions on that?
So basically, they were the Jedi bitches.
They were the Jedi's bitches.
No, I mean, it's a decent way of finding a place for people that you've, you know, uprooted, because, you know, you take a force sensitive child and it doesn't pan out, like, what hey, can we put a stamp on you and send you back home?
Yeah.
No,
you did have the option. If they didn't pass it, then the initiative had the option to go back.
Oh, well, they did. Yeah, but you didn't. The Jedi Order didn't kick him out. They put him somewhere else.
Well, they tried to utilize the talents that they had, right? You know, and they were doing good, you know, healing people, feeding people, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean,
sure.
You know, those are good endeavors, you know, that you can, and it allowed, these cores also allowed for those initiated that hadn't passed the trials, a chance for them to really study the Force and get stronger in the Force and work on the things that they were having shortcomings on so they could go back and try it again. So it gave them an opportunity to hone their skills in certain areas, depending on how they were. So it was a pretty good system for them.
It's the, we kidnapped you. They didn't and kidnap. Forced you to Stop live saying here. That.
Talking shit.
Sorry. We strongly suggested that you come here.
Okay.
And strong armed your parent. But you suck. But now that you have no social skills to be out in the real world, we're going to give you this this task of doing something.
Kashmir, yes. They threatened him with the stick.
Yes, I didn't bring up the stick.
Oh, it's about the stupid ass stick. Okay.
Yeah. Not the stick, but a wooden, long piece of wood.
All right. Long piece of wood, slender, in the shape of a stick.
All right. Moving on. The Jedi Code. The way the Jedi operated. And it's going to be pretty straightforward, and I think we'll have the longest conversation about this.
Hold on. I got a theory.
No theory. Let me read a damn thing, and then you can give your damn theory, because I already know your stupid ass theory, and I don't want to hear it.
You don't know my theory.
Yeah, it's going to be
stupid. You know my theory before I say it.
I know it's going to be stupid.
No, it's not going to be stupid.
Okay, what is it, Ram? Let's hear
my
it.
Theory is that the code you're about to say is the exact opposite of the Sith code.
Yes, but there's more to it than that.
It's not a number code? I was thinking it was 5576321.
6, 7, 5. No, get out of here.
Rio 9.
I thought there were always zeros and ones.
No, it's not binary.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So... Non-binary? They have non-binary in Star Wars?
They have everything
so
in Star Wars.
So there are, there's two aspects to the Jedi Code. Okay, so there's the original code is Jedi are the guardians of peace in the galaxy. Jedi use their powers to defend and protect, never to attack others. Jedi respect all life in any form. Jedi serve others rather than ruling over them for the good of the galaxy. And Jedi seek to improve themselves through knowledge and training. Now, this derived from the code of the Jedi Order for Master Hominix Rectonia is credited with transcribing the code in its classic form. Later, Odin refined it to the Myth the Fourth line, though Grandmaster Coven restored the code to the classic form. Now, the code changes to what we know it to be. There is no emotion, there is peace. There is no ignorance, there is knowledge. There is no passion, there is serenity. There is no chaos, there is harmony, there is no death, there is the Force. And the code was not necessarily a strict set of rules, but a general set of guidelines that Jedi were encouraged to keep in mind as they were about the business of order. Numerous Jedi teachings interpreted and expounded on the code in subsequent millennia. These rules created and embraced by the Jedi Masters were essential tools in the Jedi's growth. And then in them, the Jedi were encouraged to overcome personal obstacles such as pride, materialism, to understand their small yet important place in the galaxy and to give every being and point of view equal consideration. So you can see that there's the original Jedi code came right after we talked about the Jedi, right? And the mm-hmm. Jedi that were what they wanted the order to become after the Great Schism, right? They wanted to, what are the Jedi? Are we just going to be and some were, and throughout the history, they just wanted to study the Force. But if they said, if you're going to be doing stuff in the Order, this is what we represent. This is what we're about. This is what we believe in. And then it became more of this philosophical thing that they would teach about the Force and about, you know, a way of living, you know. Again, you can see the good intentions in that. Problem is that, you know, they became, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, way too much on the light side of the Force. So much so that they couldn't see the dark side. They couldn't understand the enemy. They couldn't see things happening because they were so dogmatic in their viewpoint that, you know, even though they could, there was interpretation, it was just, as I said, a set of guidelines, Some took it literally, you know, some, you know, it hindered them in a lot of ways. The Sith weaknesses were, we've already talked about the Sith and their code and how that was their weakness, but the Jedi's were the opposite. We would, Carl said it a million times, they're too passive. You know, sometimes action is needed, you know, these kind of things that we talked about, but you hear the Jedi code, you hear how the Jedi viewpoint is. What do you guys have questions on? Thoughts, questions, things like that?
I mean, so the Jedi basically wanted to holistically run in the other direction of what the Sith had been doing for a long time, which is, you know, power and conquer. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the downside of
selflessness.
Well, yeah, selfless. But the downside of writing like a creed or a code in direct opposition to what your enemy stands for comes to bringing like a point where they are they're writing themselves into a corner, essentially, right? Because things we don't want to embody becomes like you start running too far the other direction, which, like what you said, it's too much light side. And so it's interesting that they kind of build the opposite direction of the code, and then it creates their own eventual downfall.
Yeah, then because again, didn't see certain things, because remember that we talk about the wars that happen. You think thousands of years would happen in between those, and then a bunch of stuff would happen, and then there'd be a long line of peace, and then a bunch of stuff would happen, you know, and they would forget about, you know, their battles with the Sith and the lessons learned from that. They would go back to this kind of thinking of, well, there's no more war, so we, you know, let's go back to what we were doing before. And it kept getting worse and worse. You know, that's what allowed Sidious to do what he did. I mean, Sidious didn't have any rules. He was all about power, and I'll do what it takes, and I'll do all this underhanded stuff behind their backs, and, you know, they can't see it, you know, they don't, you know, and that's what led to their downfalls, because they could not see and understand the darkness coming for them, and they couldn't appreciate it. So, Kashmir, you're looking mighty befuddled over there.
No, I'm just kind of, I'm trying to like bring it into like us, like, you know, like United States, like it's kind of like the code is kind of like the Bill of Rights in a sense, you know, loosely, you know, so it's more like, you know,
I would say it's like a bill of, I would say it's more like the Declaration of Independence, because the Declaration of Independence is a thought of ideas like we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by the creator with certain unalienable rights. It's a way of thinking. An ideal, you know, but I look at the Jedi code more like a religious kind of thing, where you get like, you know, the prayer for Catholicism, or you know, some of these other things that, you know, say a strict adherence to these things, that it's more dogmatic, religious in text than I think of anything else. What are you?
Today's bourbon.
Jefferson. Yes.
I got it right. I want credit for getting today's topic right.
But you did. You didn't.
No, I kind of did.
No,
with my
you
did.
I pulled on that and I quoted the Declaration of Independence. That's not you. You didn't do that. I did that.
I was setting you up to do it.
Oh, well, okay. All right. Okay. Subliminally, I didn't. Okay. There we go. Okay. So there you go. Ram, you got nothing.
You could just say I'm right, Ram. It's okay.
Oh yeah.
I think I've proven my case. The Jedi are just boring. Force lightning is the way.
You're here first, guys. Mace is boring.
There's a lot of things I agree with about Mace. The way that he went about doing things is not one of them. It's just battle-wise, absolutely. Great tactician. Well, killing Jango, absolutely. Could have done it sooner, but
so you can look at the code and the way the Jedi acted, but there were a lot of people that disagreed and thought differently about the code. That's what led to a lot of schisms. I didn't even talk about all that. There's other groups that broke off. Some got even more extreme about the light side and the dark side, especially on the light side, that had to be washed because they were nuts. And then some, like, you know, Qui-Gon reason Qui-Gon, he was a Jedi Master, but he wasn't on the council because he just didn't necessarily agree with like all the tenets and stuff like that. You saw that all the time. Quinlan Voss was like that, you know.
Yeah.
Anakin didn't like some of the stuff, and I mean, you saw certain things, and they would question it. You know, Plo Koon, you know, questioned when he was using his Force judgment. You know, his lightning attack. He's like, yeah, it's a dark side power, but it's for good, and I use it for certain reasons. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad thing to do. You know, and he was on the council, so there was different views. But you know, the Jedi Council would look away from certain things, but you couldn't go Sith, you couldn't go dark side. That's when the council would be like, okay, you know, we can disagree on viewpoints, but not this. You know, you can't be doing this crap over here. You know, and
right.
But I think because of their dogmatic views, one of the problems that the Jedi had is they didn't study. Which is really crazy. The only Karth said in a previous episode, only a selected few individuals would know about the dark side. And I just said it in my reading that they would try to hide the fact the Sith ever existed. Like that's not the way to go about it. If you want to, you know, train someone. And this is why the Jedi were so successful. It's unfortunate that what happened because it would have been interesting. I always think like, what if things had gone differently with the Jedi Order? Where would we be today in the galactic, you know, scheme of things? Because the Jedi believed in balance, you know, that you had to have both balance in the light and the dark side. You had to know knowledge on both of them. Sith went one way and were lunatics and psychopaths because of the dark side and their lust for power and greed and, you know, conquering of things. The Jedi were pacifists that just believe. Selflessly, yes, they did a lot of great things, but they were too passive. And so every time that something bad would happen, the Mandalorians are genociding, the Sith are invading. You know, it took them a while to get going again and then get back into their fight mode, you know, to use the Force to defend the Republic. Now, again,
they were you said the right word. You said lunatics on the dark side, but the Jedi were just as much lunatic, just on the opposite end of the spectrum.
There was a few that were like that, but the Jedi just were passive. They believed in helping others. You know, this is what they did. They weren't war hungry like the Sith. You know, they weren't power hungry. They did stuff
right, which led them to not be able to protect the people that they were in charge of.
Well,
because
they could protect, but they weren't like
sort of. But
well,
that was the problem, right?
You're conflating some of the other facts, though, because like during the like this old Republic era, the Jedi weren't officially a part of the Republic like they were in the Galactic Republic. They were part of allied with the Republic, but they were not the like integral like they are in the Galactic Republic era.
Yeah.
And so they did not want to join because they did not see it as war as their profession. They were advisors. That's more or less what they were saying. But then, you know, like you just had them getting absolutely shithoused, and then like Jedi like Revan decided to say, hey, listen, we can help.
Yeah.
We can turn the tide here. Let's get involved. But yeah, it's the problem that we run into constantly with the Jedi is that you have the idealism of the code constantly contradicts the reality of real life, and that's the problem that they never really address. And you see it in all the little sub stories, right? You see it with Ahsoka. With Anakin, you see it in Ahsoka, you see it in Kenobi, when they characters we have a lot of exposure to. They do a really good job of explaining that a Jedi's life for the most part is not so plain and simple, and it's only the people who have been there for a long time that have seen everything and kind of have conformed their lives to certain things that they're the ones that are like in the ruts of everything. Cause they lived it so long that it's all they know what it is. But you see other Jedi like Plo Koon, who's much more pragmatic about what's happening there. And you know, much more attentive to what's going on around him, and you know, and goes out of his way to do things that you would consider kind of foolhardy. But, you know, they are real people. They do their own thing. And the codes, you know, to quote pirates, you know, it's more of a guideline, more often than not. But when you look at it from the, you know, the 1,000-mile viewpoint, it's like, man, these guys are a bunch of boring mothers. they're not doing anything. They're, you know, how is peacekeeping an exciting profession? Well, It can be very much so
because, you know, resolving conflict and, you know, it's just what they did. You know, they tried to help people. That was their whole purpose in life, serve others, you know? So, yeah. I mean, they're not going out picking fights. No, they were ready if a fight came. They had their lightsabers. Let's not duck around. Jedi were nasty. You know, that's why they were feared. Even the Mandalorians feared the Jedi Order because they had tumbled with them too many times and lost. Because it's like you poke that bear, you don't want
to... I mean, they developed entire armaments to fight Jedi. Mm-hmm. Like, they created little personal shields to deflect the lightsabers. They created... That's why the non-blaster weapons came into a lot of things, like the grapple ropes and the flamethrowers and the darts and everything like that. Those were those came from because they needed alternate tools to deal with the Jedi. I mean, Cad Bane, that's the reason why he has the respirators, is so he can't be force choked. I mean, like, there's so many things that where people learned how to adapt to them, or force users in general. It's interesting to see that, you know, it's how other cultures adapted to deal with the Jedi, and the Jedi kind of just kept going, well, I mean, if you make us come, we'll get involved, but otherwise we're not going to do anything. And then you always had the Jedi that had the unique powers that were always like, how does not more people not know about this? I'm like, well, cause you didn't let anybody learn it.
Yeah. See, that was why a lot of people fell. The judges just didn't understand that, you know, questions need to be asked. And again, and it's a great scene from Rebels where the Bendo, and that comes from the Jedi word, Jedi word for balance. That's, they call him the Bendo, but that's what their word was for it. It says, Kanan, you're screaming to me on the light side of the Force, you know, because again, Jedi teaching, you know, but yeah, I mean, both sides had their flaws about them. But the Jedi were good folks. They, the vast majority of them, they did things to serve others. The Jedi, you know, Anakin said it himself, the Jedi are selfless. The Sith only think of themselves. They look inward while the Jedi look out. They're always thinking about somebody else, you know? But again, it's a cool conversation to have, right? It's just two different sides of the coin, you know, and, how you go about your business. So,
but you can directly, in my opinion, you can directly correlate the issues that we saw, especially in the Galactic Republic era, where, you know, the fall of the Jedi, you can directly correlate that to the problems of a lot of their viewpoints and a lot of their just, well, this is the way we do things. This is the way we've always done things. It's like, have any attachments. Okay. Well, that directly resulted in Anakin getting fucked over.
Well, they got complacent. They got complacent after 1,000 years of peace, you know, with little conflicts here and there. But think about it, 1,000 years of peace, you know, where the Sith are just a distance.
Well, there's no way the Sith could return without us knowing. Okay, sure.
Yeah, that's, you know, and arrogance. Sure. They were a little cocky, a little arrogant, you know. Yeah. And they said it in episode 2, his abilities had made him cocky and arrogant. This is a trait. That a lot of the Jedi have. Yoda even says that, you know, that's a problem, you know, that...
Right. And like Qui-Gon, they didn't want to listen to... They got so dived into the political spectrum of, well, this is how the Republic wants us. This is what the Republic wants us to do. Blah, 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 blah. No. Like, if you listen to the will of the Force, you might have even seen all this shit happening and been able to adapt and adjust and whatnot, but it's just it. I don't know.
It's
boring.
They always
do this.
Mm-hmm. But it's a
for the heroes, they're dull.
Well, I think you have to look at an individual basis because every Jedi is different, you know, how they go about their stuff. So I don't think you know the Order itself might be boring, but the Jedi, if you look at, you know, especially like the Clone Wars Jedi, I mean, they were.
Oh, there's some cool Jedi, absolutely. You know, but like it's just the Order as a whole, it just doesn't seem like it's a fun thing to be a part of.
Well, no, but I mean, you know,
it's too much politicking. That's what really ended up becoming the downside of a lot of the Jedi, was the fact that they got so wrapped up in,
we gotta go to the Senate Council meeting, we gotta go do this, we gotta do that. Oh, they want us to go into this planet.
And that's why there was a lot of Jedi during the Galactic War, the Clone Wars era, that wanted to step away from the Republic, but Palpatine did a lot of groundwork to make that look like treason.
Yeah, or make it impossible, you know.
Yeah. So I mean, that's a large reason why the Jedi got involved was part of the plan was with Sifo Dyas there was to make sure that the Jedi felt like they were integral to the clone army, and then they had to be a part of it, right? Because yeah. their order is the one that ordered it. So it has to look like you guys knew what you were doing because somebody did it. And anyway, there's a lot of things with it, and I overall agree. That's why there's so much allure to people. A lot of people naturally like the Sith characters because they exude a lot more, you know, traits that people want to aspire to with power and dominance and control. I mean, you can word them separately to make them more pretty, but, you know, the Jedi just do have a lot of boring takes on those things because they're always a bunch of just sticks in the mud.
Yeah. But there's a badass. And, yeah, it's a badass Jedi that just.
Why is the stick in the mud?
But I mean, like, remember Bass LaShawn, or not Bass LaShawn, but Satele Shan. I mean, she was yeah. a frontline badass fighter. Mm-hmm. You know, in all the wars, the Jedi were, you know, great generals and fighters. We can go down through from Nomi Sunrider to Bass LaShawn to Satele Shan to, you know, the great Jedi in the past that when the time came, they were like, yeah, it's cool. This is the code, but we got some stuff to handle over here, and I got to do what I got to do, or we're going to get wiped out, you know. So,
sure.
But yeah, overall, let us know in the comments what you think. You know, let us know what you guys think about the Jedi Order. They are what they are, just like the Sith are what they are. The Mandalorians are what they are. You know, you gravitas to what you like the most. I personally am, you know, I've always been a Sith guy, but, you know, the Mandalorians have been one of my favorite factions just because of their culture and stuff. But yeah, there's good and bad in all of them.
I got a question.
Yeah.
I want to hear from each one of y'all. Given the opportunity to be a part of just hands down, start from bottom, you know, entry level, which faction out of the three would you want to be a part of? Jedi, Sith, or Mandalorian?
Mandalorian. No doubt.
I mean, I think if you allowed a character to be more, like, I think I would go Force User anyways, but I think Jedi, if you take it in the broad spectrum of, like, of what you're allowed to become with the Jedi versus the Sith, I think the Jedi would be a lot more interesting because the Sith is a lot more do or die.
Yeah, it's ruthless.
The Jedi, there's a lot more like room to expand and actually do things differently. So I'd be interested. I would be more interested to see how that one plays out in the long run. But yeah, I mean, overall, there are some things that you'd have to overcome and look at with each of those. But Mandalorian's got a lot of cool things too. I would be more interested to see on some of that, how that plays out.
Yeah, so I picked Mando, Karskron, Jedi. Karskron, what are you thinking?
I'm a lover, not a fighter, so I'm going Jedi. I don't want to be fighting every day like a Mandalorian just for the hell of it. And Sith, you can't turn your back for a second and
oh yeah,
you're getting attacked or something like that.
Mm-hmm,
you know, at least Jedi, even if I fuck up, I can go and be a farmer or something like that.
Yeah, and improve upon your skills and grow. All right, you, Ram, you already know you're Sith.
No, you don't.
You're evil.
No,
you're evil.
No, I would actually go Mandalorian. And the reason why, as much as I love just randomly shocking people, it's that same
game.
it's a game, but it's also that factor of like Casper just said, you know, it, turn your back and they just, you
you're
know,
my rival,
it's
I must
like,
kill you.
I liked, yeah, I love the family aspect. I'm big on family. I love the family aspect. The fact that Mandalorians can stand up to Force users and just be like, yeah, okay, I see you have a lightsaber and I have everything in my arsenal and I kill your kind for fun. So there's that competition and they just have a lot of cool stuff, right? Like the Mythosaur and all the Beskar stuff that they make, the weaponry is just, Mandalorians are just badass.
Yeah, I like the Mandalorian culture, and it's interesting. Me and Ram both
culture's fun. Yeah.
Both military guys picked the Mandalorians.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, the Mandalorians are a fantastic like subsect. It just depends on which part of that. Right. Like same thing with the Jedi. Which part of that are you going to adhere to? Because there were clans.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Not Death Watch.
Yeah. Because there are some clans that are just absolutely bonkers in their thought process. And there are some that are, you know, are just fine.
I would probably go, you know, something more along the lines of like Night Owls, right?
Yeah,
you
Clan
know,
Kreesh, something like that.
Clan Kreesh, yeah. It's something like that. Or Clan Ordo, right? I wouldn't go Children of the Watch because I don't agree with that value. You know, I can't wear how many religious, yeah, fuck that shit. But like Death Watch is just, you know, hey, we murder everybody. It's like,
well, it's like the old Mandalorian.
Equal opportunity is.
Well, it's like, you know, Mandalore the Ultimate. It's like, kill them all. But they're civilians. Yeah. Kill them all. It's like, they're not Mandalorians. Kill them all. You know, it's like.
Right. Jesus. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. Night Owls or, you know, Clan Kreesh, Clan Ordo, one of those.
Yeah. I think
those
are pretty cool. Yeah. All right. Let us know in the comments what you guys think about the Jedi. It's just, again, I go general with this stuff. For these guys, so we can, and for you, so you can just get a taste of some things about the Jedi. And we've covered quite a lot with the Force. There's a few more factions I want to cover with the Force before we start getting to some individual stuff, which will be soon. Just so we have a good sense of like the different cultures, some main cultures, factions, things of that nature, so that when we get into individuals, if you're listening to the podcast from the beginning to this point and forward, you have a really good understanding. We've covered the Jedi, we've covered the Sith, we've covered some of the history of the wars, mainly with the Sith, but we've covered lightsaber forms, we've covered the Force itself, you know, and the different philosophies and teachings of the Force. We've covered all kinds of stuff. So we're going to continue to do that. We're getting closer and closer to where we're going to start getting into individual characters. And I think that's where it'll start getting fun, where we can talk about these individual characters. And we've done one with Revan, we've done one with Mace, right? So but we'll start getting into that, but at least you've got the good groundwork there. So
we hit the Patreon goal, we'll do one with Kashmir and Yoda.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. And then if we get to 2000 the lovely Desi girl is going to do one on the Night Sisters. And I think
wait, hold on, when does Karth do one?
Maybe one day we'll see.
One day we'll see. He hasn't really. We'll let it organically happen, you know, where we make Karth do one day. But
Karth needs to do one.
Get there. We've got our first certain goals. If we hit another one, then maybe we'll have Karth do one. You know, we'll let him pick whichever one he wants, and he can do it. So.
Yay!
So hit the thumbs up, subscribe on the YouTube, give us good ratings on the podcast, download, share it with your friends. That's a big thing. Spread the word about the podcast. And with that, we're going to call this one done. So on behalf of myself and the idiots, have a great rest of your day. We'll see you next time. Peace out.